Hey, can you hear me? Johnny?
How's that?
There
Can
you
you
go.
hear
You
me?
gotta unmute yourself.
Well, of course, dude. Your backyard's looking pretty cool.
Oh, that's not my backyard. What do you think? I just hit
Don't
a
you mean?
few million. That's those. This is a winery.
I know, I know. What winery are you at?
It's just off the road in San, in like kind of San Ramon, I think.
Okay.
Not San Ramon. What's it called? Off Isabel Road.
Isabel Road. Wow, man, that's really
Isabella.
pretty.
Yeah, it's really nice out here.
Now I bumped it.
Yeah, that is beautiful, beautiful.
Now I bumped
beautiful.
It and lost everything.
So one of the things I found out is that you got to be techie to be in this program.
Is Lori not going to show her beautiful face? Is that why?
I'm trying to.
We're trying
I see,
to.
I see the
She's
LG.
Got to turn her camera on, I think.
Good morning.
Good morning. I should have a mask on. I'm outside.
Start video down here.
Hey, thanks.
You have to turn your video thing on. Mm. Hey, all right. Well, just look at us three.
Hey.
Hey.
No,
yeah. The three musketeers.
So,
why are you wearing that mask?
Oh, we lost him. Did I lose you guys?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we lost him on video. Hopefully, you're still there.
Are you there?
Can you see me?
Now yeah, we can.
Get that thing off your face so we can see you.
Somebody start in prayer. Ross.
You want me to start in prayer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you're asking. If you're Laurie or Ross. Well, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together today here in an opportunity to do community and share in your word. Also in our last sermon, Lord, we know that we're in some very strange times where truth is really not out there so much. I guess apparently it's so much confusion in this world today that so many of us are just finding truths in different places. I just pray that we could lean in your son's direction, in his word, to find our truth, to be solid in that. And we again thank you so much for bringing us together, for your grace, for your love, and I ask you to bless this meeting, open up our hearts and minds to dive and unpack what we're going to talk about.
Yes.
And ask this all in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Sorry about that. I'm a little confused because my dog's like picking things out of, picking things up off the ground, and I'm like trying to keep an eye on a little Ollie.
Hey, dude, this is the coolest Bible study I have ever been a part of. I tell you what.
You see Ollie?
Ollie. We're awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah. You can't see the picture. I can't see them. There you go.
Hey.
Hi, Ollie. See him?
I see Ollie.
I see him.
Hi, Olive.
Hey.
Hey, Olive.
So I'm gonna unvideo myself only because I don't like to look at my ugly old mug.
Oh, God,
that's a good thing. So I want to see if you can, if you unvideo yourself, make sure that you can see the thing I'm about to share. Can you see the?
Yes.
All right. So I was asking ourselves the question, you mentioned in your prayer that we're on a battlefield. We're in the middle of a battlefield of sorts where truth is people are seeking their own particular truths, and we're asking the Lord to help us to, discover the truth. Where have some of those struggles been this week with either of you?
Oof.
what kind of battlefields have we been facing? I mean, what kind of opportunities do we have to talk about within the midst of, we've still seen some great things happen because we've discovered a certain truth about ourselves that we're better off, better than we thought we were. Has there ever been a time this week that that's occurred?
That we thought we were better than we are?
Well, you know, in other words, you started down, you know, in other words, before you discover the truth about yourself, I think that there's a lie that might be perceived, that you might be, you know, hard. I know for me, I can say it this way. I generally have to overcome the lie of sometimes confidence, of knowing that that I can do something, even in the midst of, you know, being out the face of maybe individuals or situations suggesting otherwise.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, you know, being able to sit down and, you know, talk about, you know, how I'm going to do a certain project and, you know, have to having the confidence to overcome the, you know, the lethargicness of saying, well, no, you can't because you're this, because you're that. I hear those same little cries every day, you know, in my brain that say, no, you're not good enough. No, because maybe it's the color of your skin. Maybe it's you're too old. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's the other. You know, and I wonder, do any of us face the same challenges, or am I the only one?
Johnny, this is Ross. Lurie, were you going to say something?
Oh, go ahead.
I think that, you know, when truthfully, I mean, we all have those things that, you know, those, that voice that comes, that has us question of, you know, are we capable of doing this? Are we the right person? Right? We all go through that.
Right.
You know, I think for me, when you asked, you know, when we were found the moment when we discovered the truth, the things that kind of held me back from really discovering the truth was, I think, my own ego.
Mm-hmm. So to speak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, get up. Mm-hmm. Get up over. Mm-hmm. There's a dog coming, so I want to get him in the truck. I'm trying to make my way into San Jose.
I tell you what, this is the coolest. I tell you, there cannot be any cooler. You're walking the dog, driving the truck. We're sitting in an office having a Bible study. That's pretty darn cool.
I am on a patio outside.
Well, you know, I know a couple of, you know, some of us, you know, are really familiar with Ephesians, you know, that, which is where the whole conversation is, you know, kind of centered around in some parts of our study today, Ephesians 6:12-13. And, you know, you say, because we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And that's Ephesians 6:12-13.
I guess an example is all of the everything we had to go through just this morning just to get to where we are.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to call you this morning and I realized my phone bill hadn't been paid.
Yeah, and I couldn't find my phone this morning. It was so, got up so early, you know, and fast.
Yeah, I was calling you guys.
Plugged it in the front of the RV, and so I didn't have my phone to invite Raquel this morning. So it's just a little bit of, you know, we're around a battlefield for sure.
You know, and that's all right.
Yeah,
it is. You know, because
we are. I mean, I think that, you know, the battlefield, so to speak,
to, you know, understand that, you know, we do live in the world, and it's, you know, there is a war, you know, war-torn world of just, you know, a bunch of pain and hurt and violence, yeah. Eventually, you know, death. We also understand when we lean in on the truth that that's not how God intended creation to look like, you know, and I'm currently, as Johnny knows, or maybe you, that we're, I'm studying the book of Genesis, so that's why that's kind of coming to mind right now. But, you know, also the truth is, you know, that the, you know, is in the Bible, is found in the Bible. And so when we lean in that, we see that, you know, it's also found that God, you know, sent Jesus, you know, to the world, you know, mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of areas that when we see, and lean in on that truth, we could start kind of, reconciling, I guess, and kind of redeeming the way that we see the world, and, mm-hmm. The way that we put that into kind of, in God's hands, I guess, which you'd say.
Yeah.
You know,
we have to remember that
it is chaotic.
Battlefield with us. He's here with us on that battlefield. And so we can't lose. If it doesn't appear to be going our way, it just means that there's a lesson involved and God might have it go in a different direction so that we can learn that lesson.
Good point.
But he's here with us.
Good point. What kind of lessons do you think we learn? You know, I mean, with example, I'm reading from that same scripture, you know, and the comment sections that I have are, you know, thinking about the fact that this was a situation where Paul was instructing his readers to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand and prevail. Serving as an officer under God, Paul issues the orders for troops. When leaders practice the law of intuition, they provide their people with literally a strategy to win. Did we hear a strategy to win in the sermon this week? To overcome with truth, yeah, maybe?
I think that there was a, you know, obviously leaning into the truth and where we find it and Jesus and in his love, and then, you know, and with understanding, you know, and having faith in the word. And right. So that, I think, you know, like, you know, his solutions were, you know, kind of mentions around Lauren, you know, right. teaching her children about, you know, looking for the answer in the Bible first, rather than right. kind of, you know, so, you know, those are some solutions kind of that we could do ourselves or teach others. It's, you know, we're, our job is to bring people the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, that's where people are going to eventually find the truth.
Right.
Yeah. Eventually we let go and let go of the ego. I mean, on one hand, the ego is there to kind of protect us from kind of letting, you know, our guard down, so to speak,
right.
sometimes,
right.
and just,
right.
And helping us advance too, you know, move forward.
The ego is there to help us.
Pardon me?
You said our ego is there to help us?
It's there to kind of, it's there to protect us in a way, in some ways. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, I mean, that can help us, but when the ego is the voice that you're going to dictate your life by. I mean, it's usually for me, I found it wasn't until I had to break that to find Jesus and have a true relationship with Jesus.
It's incredible when we have, you know, some kind of knowledge of the oppositions that we face, then we have, and armed with the truth, you know, like, for example, acknowledging to our own selves. I keep reminding myself of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror song. You know, when I face the biggest challenges that I see and have a strategy to overcome that with truth. So, for example, I go back to what I was saying earlier, more of not impossible, but the fact that I am possible with the Lord's help. And through his strength, we find it, you know. And it's ironic because in this scripture that we're studying, we're still talking about Paul. And Larry's not as familiar with what we talk about, in, you know, in the past. But for example, Paul, I reference Paul to somewhat degree of being almost like a Nazi. Excuse me.
Like a Nazi?
Yes. Because at the time that he was a zealot for killing Christians, he was very good at it. And he was very well feared because he was kind of, he enjoyed the pride of being the best at what he did. Am I wrong, Ross?
Well, I mean, he was someone that was in charge of tracking down believers and killing them, and for the Jewish faith. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, not only was he someone that was feared because he was Hitler, but like an assassin, almost kind of like a secret, like a SEAL team guy. I mean, he would go in and people were fearful of him. Remember Barnabas and Peter were like, wait, we don't even trust if trust if he's Christian. He's the one, this is the guy that killed him. But he was also very intelligent. So he knew the law and knew the word better than anyone. And that's, I also believe that God used him because he was credible to people.
Right. I mean,
people knew that he knew his stuff and what he was saying. He was not only feared for his killing of Christians, tracking them down and persecuting them, killing them, and stopping the faith, you know, the spread of the way of Jesus. Mm. But he was, you know, one where he challenged people within the faith.
You know, what's interesting about that is that in the process of discovering the truth, you know, we gain knowledge of the opposition, but then if we rely on the fundamental faith that we live in, the Lord gives us through well as, you know, the Holy Spirit, love, guidance, wisdom, knowledge, the resources that we need. You know, for example, in this discussion, the reason that we're having, you know, a discussion about Paul and putting on the belt of truth actually includes the fact that the resources that the Lord gave us through this message was that Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, and he had a plan on how to use him to give detailed communication to us in this generation, which is really interesting, I think. You know, if Paul hadn't listened, or Paul hadn't been capitulated on that road, we wouldn't know, essentially, we wouldn't have this conversation about, you know, this battle is not on the ground, y'all. You know, you might think it is, but it's actually in high places. And it involves much more than you know. So put on the belt of truth and get to know whose you are and what knowledge you need to fight the battle. And God brought Paul, in my opinion, to the table to, you know, give us this conversation this morning, which is really interesting to me. You know, what about you? Anybody?
I it's interesting. I think that I want to touch back. I think that I heard Marie ask a question about the ego when I mentioned that there's a place for it that was good. And she was like, it sounded like, Marie, are you there?
Yeah.
It sounded like you had a question, like, what do you mean by that? Like, good, where can the ego be good? Is that like,
in the past,
did I hear you wrong?
No, I was just, the only time I've ever studied about ego is with my spiritual friends, really, real, my hippie spiritual friends, and they were like trying to get rid of the ego, focused on getting rid of the ego, and that I'd never heard that before. That's all.
I think that, I mean, I wish we could focus. That's awesome. Focus on losing the ego. That could be a topic. But for me, it wasn't until like I had my own kind of shipwreck, so to speak, that I kind of, the ego was crushed. You know, like I was vulnerable and I needed people before I was. And so what I meant by the ego, what's good about it is when we're, I think, young and we start growing up, the ego kind of protects us, you know, it kind of helps that layer of protection while we're going through childhood and elementary school and high school. Even, you know, when you're growing up on some of the, you know, pains in life, you know, when girls break up or people break up with you or walk out of your life or don't want to date. And so the ego does kind of provide some type of protection. Because, I mean, can you imagine what kind of mess we would have been if we wouldn't had anything to kind of say, we'll get through this, you know, oh, there's someone else. For at least for me, it's kind of like that, you know, that padding, I guess, underneath the, you know, the carpet, you know, kind of layers that a little bit more protection. That's,
I guess we should learn to lean on God rather than go to the ego.
Oh, for sure.
It takes a long time to learn that, right?
It's, you know, when we read the word, we're learning that, you know, when the more we lose ourself, it coming to places like losing ourself. So that's, I think, losing ourself is losing that ego.
Amen.
It is that. It is losing that. For so many people, I think that that and like Johnny mentioned, the voice of doubt, you know, the voice of that you're not good enough, that you're not able to do this. And when that voice takes over, or the voice of the ego, your life is not going in the right direction.
Right. No kidding. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't think. I don't, as we
who hasn't say, been there? Who hasn't been there, right?
Everybody's been there. If you're going to shame the devil and tell the truth, everybody's been there, you know?
Well, and the more we think that we're far, the more that we think that we're not that, as fast as it becomes a reality again.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you're studying the book of Genesis. And I would imagine, you know, there was an ego trip going on right at the tree of life. Are the knowledge of good and evil.
Only because it's 8:22, I'm going to have to start driving on the road. If I hang, if I get disconnected, I'm sorry, and I'll call you back.
Oh, no. We should probably wrap up, you know, and I think, first of all, you guys.
Well, we have a few more minutes. I don't want to wrap up when we're still talking because you asked me a question or asked Lorraine or something.
Yeah. I'm looking at, and I'm actually leading forward into next week and praying that some of the messages this weekend cover my question. But was it an ego trip between the enemy and Adam and Eve at this queen of deception? Were we dealing with ego, and were we dealing with self-confidence?
We're dealing with the devil that is the ruler of this world, that's here to destroy and kill. That's right. His job. And
right.
So that, you know, he does that by deceiving us.
Yep.
And so, no, it wasn't the ego. At that time, they didn't have a self-conscious. It wasn't until after that moment that they started thinking, oh man, I gotta cover myself up.
Yeah, you gotta kill something and cover yourself. You gotta hide and so forth like that.
They were at that point, I believe, and I could be wrong, set me straight, someone, and I guess if this has been recorded, someone will, that they were pure. We were at that point where we were intended to be like in creation.
Right.
In harmony with each other, there was no killing of animals. Everything was living with perfect peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was described by Peter and Paul in the New Testament that we're going to come back to that garden.
Mm-hmm.
So God restores the earth. And we're going to see, you know, lions lay with sheep. And, you know, I think, you know, other animals.
Yes.
that would naturally be, and you know, killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they weren't. I believe that the devil does that. He can deceive us. We have to be very mindful of that. Can't ever think that we're, you know, we have it on top of, you know, we're on top of our game. Like, so to speak, before I thought I was, and as soon as you think you are, it's like I'm hit, you know, I'm hitting an anxiety level that's off the rocker. I'm, you know, hit the bottle or smoking, you know, too much marijuana or whatever it is that, you know, you're
right.
You're doing something right. that's taking you away from
the core values and the core pieces. Yeah.
Well, I think that.
Yes, Lori.
We come from love, and we will return to love. And while we're here, everything that we do and everything that we experience is just a lesson of different forms of love. Mm. Because love comes in many different forms, and we're here to learn about all of them. We come from love, and we will return to love.
Well, I agree, yeah. I mean, we are beloved by, yep. you know, and made in His image.
Yeah,
the image of our Creator, and with that, you know, we got to remember that, and it is, you know, Satan runs, you know, this world right now, and it's in his control.
Yeah,
in which powers and principalities and powers are who we're really at, and it's a spiritual thing that we really have to take serious.
Right,
you know, that's why, you know, if we live in with the greatest commandment that Jesus, who we're conforming to, in that character is love.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbor. You know, there's, you
and
know,
no matter how dark something appears to be, there's a lesson of love behind it.
Have you guys seen that show on Netflix called Lucifer?
No. I haven't. It would probably be a dark humor subject I would look at, but it's not something I would immediately go to.
I didn't think I would too, but my wife turned it on and I started watching the first two episodes. I'm like, wow, this is like actually more biblical than imagined.
Mm.
You know, wow. The fact that, you know, that he's Lucifer, I guess, is upset that he wants to go back to heaven.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Lost, you know, and he's trying to get his wings back.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
But he's still Lucifer.
But right.
The way he describes his father's love and the creation and the way that he sees the world, the Creator sees the world in us, is probably something that most pastors should be studying. It's crazy. So it's of course, because that was one of God's favorite children.
Right, of course. We're talking about someone who was cast into nothingness because of his desire to sit on the throne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but you know, given the fact that we need to, I wish we could pull this together in a longer conversation, because I think we've struck on something. You know, I mean, we're talking about having the belt of truth on and not really knowing who Lucifer is. Not so that we really don't have the knowledge of the opposition. Therefore, without knowledge, without the strategy to win against a convincing enemy, when we do get the resources, we have no plan of action on how to use them. And, you know, so when we come back to how do we communicate, how do we teach a person to discover the truth about the enemy that we truly face? Because let's go back to the top of the meeting and remember, we're talking about, you know, Ephesians, where Paul is laying out this situation. He's saying, hey, look, guys, you need to get ready to put your armor on. This is not your normal battle, because I'm not your normal soldier. You know, I'm not your normal everyday run of the mill, let's go play around the park type of soldier guy. I'm the guy that, you know, was best at what I did, smart at what I do, But God has shown me that he is much more than I ever thought he was, and how I serve him and him alone. But that knowledge that I bring to the table, you better know something. This is not about you, and you better, you know, help me with that as we kind of wrap this up.
I think that our job is to be disciples, bring people to, you know, somehow plant seeds to have them get a chance to have a personal relationship or experience the Holy Spirit, Jesus.
Amen.
Or Jesus. And then right. The Holy Spirit will do her work. And I think that at that time, that, you know, how we do that is different for people. I mean, Pastor Foreman does it by being a leader of a church and being, you know, with the mediums that he has to get the message out. Other big pastors like, you know, like him. You and I, how we do it, it might be different from each other, but, you know, how someone, I think, could do it, even if they don't know how, like, you know, they don't feel like they know the Bible right now so good, or, you know, I think that what it's about is just talking, learning their personal testimony and kind of making that really nice and making it, like, you know, open to sounding to everybody and welcoming. And right. So I think that, you know, people should really talk more about that more than get into what they think is, you know, the right way to be a Christian. I think a lot of that stuff you'll find is all opinions.
Right.
You know, some churches might think you have to do this, and some churches might think you have to worship on Saturday, and some people might, you know what I mean, you have to wear suits to church. Some people might think you don't need to. Some people not okay to have a tattoo. So there's all kinds of things that we get into, but talking about, I think, our testimony in a way that sounds beautiful, you know, and even if it's coming from darkness, like me, you know, or some others that I know that dark places, you know, in my own hell, living in my own hell, so to speak, for so long with mental illness, I think that there's that. And, you know, but it's really just getting a chance to talk about Jesus, the love of Jesus. I mean, all that other Christian stuff, I think, comes later. I mean, people, you know, could figure that out eventually.
I would agree, Willary. You know, when we, we look at, you know, what kind of, you know, lies we've been told this week, you know, and what kind of truths do we use to remind us that this is just a lie? You know, can you think of some kind of way that you reminded yourself maybe that, you know, what we were actually facing was false evidence appearing to be real, maybe?
I think that people of the spirit, that's our kind of our background, is we understand what that means. Is part of it is you allowing the spirit to work through us to discern things. There's truth, like when the pastor talked about in his message on Sunday about people getting the truth from all kinds of different places, the truth for me might be not the truth for you. I get what he's saying, because that's what we're living in. And I mean, we're living in that world where he says, you know, the truth is not relevant anymore. It's the more crazy you know, the louder you become on that bullhorn, so to speak, the more Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, whatever, you know, person you become, that's what makes money. And, you know, you don't really need to tell the truth. You just got to spin it and or manipulate it in a way.
I think that's like
little white lies.
Yeah. I think it's like a basketball game.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I think it's like a basketball game. It goes back and forth down the court as to whose truth becomes relevant back and forth. But I think what I'm looking for is at what point does the Lord bring, I know how he brings me back to reality. It might be a simple passage like, you know, the one we're using this morning, you know, and even more focus into the pastor's message about the belt of truth, you know. Because even the tunic, you know, how to make yourself more capable in battle. When you wrap the tunic around the belt, it has a utilitarian tool to it. and how difficult and how important it is for us to obtain that truth in light of everything else that's going on, you know? Yeah.
Well, so we're talking about putting on the belt of truth. We're talking about how to deter the enemy and how to keep from letting the enemy get to us. Hey, listen, we brush our teeth so we don't get cavities, right?
Right.
Like, don't you think we should be waking up and saying the Lord's Prayer together in the morning? Isn't that putting on our armor?
Amen.
Isn't that preventing cavities?
Yeah. Amen.
Preventing the, we're already deterring the enemy before we even get started at that point.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Right. The way you start your morning is going to be key to the how I think is going to go. Not always.
I mean, Penny has been teaching us to say the Lord's Prayer.
The more that you're plugged into, I think, something that is close to that, that's the center, Jesus, that light, you know, the truth, is going to be better for us at all times. But we can't necessarily do that all the time. I mean, we got to live our lives. You know, you got to.
Yeah, but we can wake up and say a prayer.
Yeah, I mean, so we can. So we can manage certain things. Like the first thing we do in the morning is, you know, spend time with the Lord. And
amen.
I think a lot of times when Johnny and I wake up and we start bickering at each other, it sets the day. It sets the mood for the day sometimes, and it's hard to get out of it. But if we woke up and said a prayer together, that could change everything.
Okay. Well, right. let's this week, when the enemy comes against us first thing in the morning, why don't we remind him of the truth and say a prayer and think, and that's an action item for myself to be a leader in our family, to make sure that just not only making sure that first kiss happens, but that first prayer happens going forward. That's that's a way that we can begin the process of
putting on our armor
and recovering through this pandemic. And guys, with that, I'm going to ask that you allow me to close in prayer, because we've got to bring this thing to a quick closure before we lose connection. And
pray that we get more folks engaged next week.
Yes, we will. We will be more functional.
I just don't pray about it. Hope. I mean, we got to make our calls.
Bishop,
yeah, we're gonna make our calls.
Bishop, don't worry. We're gonna get on it. But you know, again, let's pray.
Yes.
Father in heaven, first of all, we're grateful for everything that you've done for us. We're grateful for the lives we live, for the air that we breathe, for the homes we have, for the friends that come and are closer than some of our brothers even, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is the beginning of a seedling that you planted in this ground. We don't know how you, what you, when you, where you, whatever those secrets and mysteries are, Lord, we have no idea. But this seed is planted. May generations come to learn from the technology. May generations come to learn about you and your truth and your substance and your knowledge and your wisdom. And the lives that you've given us, Lord, let them be such that we give grace and thanks to you for them in the way that we act, we speak, we walk, we talk, the way that we treat each other, how we try and attempt to maintain the truth that exists about your love, your the way that we understand the truth and the hope and the lives that we live through your word, your testimonies, through our testimonies to you, Lord. You've been so good to us. You've been so good to us. Allow us, Lord, to share our faith, your truth, your love, your wisdom, your knowledge with others as we go forward, Lord. On this little platform that we have today, may it grow to whatever it is that you have in store. But we know, Lord, we want to be two things. One, we want to be faithful, and the second, we want to be mindful of and
and maintain that humble relationship before you, because it's those two things that keep ego and fear out of our lives and allow us for to see the light of your love. So we thank you for Ross, we thank you for Larie, and I thank you for my life, Lord. And I ask that you bless my brothers and sisters at the church. I ask that you bless the pastors and the families that, and the men and the women who are yet to be served this week by our family there. Lord, just give us the guidance in Jesus' name and bring us to another time where we can joyfully be together and share coffee and fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, my brothers and sisters. I'll talk to you guys.
I thought that you said the lies coming from you, Lord. Our lives. I was like, wait, what does he say?
Did he say what I think he said?
Yeah, I got you guys that gift from so what do I do with that? I guess I'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah, come on by 7:50. I'm getting ready to go into class right now in about 30 minutes, okay?
Okay, you're at 7:50. Okay.
Yes. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woo! Well, we did it.
Yay!
Oh, look, you can see my front and my back on your video. Look.
Mm-hmm. I know. At one point, it was so funny.
Why? Why?
Because you took your shirt off.
Yeah.
And it was like, da, da, da.
I'm sorry. I'm wrong.